Hey everyone, this is John.
This is Wes.
And this is the Nintendo Show episode 46, the best damn Nintendo podcast on the internet. This is the official show for July 2014, which means we're going to have some news and gossip. We're going to talk new releases and also have a preview of August games. That's going to be a quick section. And also continue our GBA Corner segment.
Spoilers, John. Yeah. Spoilers.
Actually, the bulk of the show is going to be in the first two segments. They're going to fly through the last two. It's going to be real quick. So,
yeah, we got a lot to talk about in the beginning. Holy crap.
Yeah, there's actually quite a bit of news. But first, you shaved your beard.
It's just a goatee now.
I mean, not really.
I miss the beard. I miss the beard.
It grows back.
It does.
It's not like you have one chance in your life
like
to grow
a beard.
Like,
this is it. Never again. Just done.
If you shave a beard, it never grows back. That's like the opposite.
I got the hair lasered off.
Oh.
I didn't shave. I lasered this off. It still goes back, right?
No, that laser's pretty permanent.
Oof.
Anyway. Yeah. Let's jump in right with it. Goddamn. Let's jump right in. No, hang, I got this this time. This time I got it. Let's jump right in with the news and gossip. And for that, let's go to our Ace News correspondent, Wes.
Really? You can't put me on a stop like that.
No, you're reading the news. This is what you do now.
This just in. Dragon Quest X is coming to 3DS in Japan.
I mean, you don't have to be a tool about it. You just read the news.
Yeah, screw you. Right? You put me on the spot. This is what you asked for, and I'm...
But you know the weird thing, aside from your news voice, the weird thing is that...
All the tangents we're breaking off into this week.
Right. One of the glasses tangent's getting cut. It's not staying in.
See, now people are going to wonder.
They are, but they're never going to know. Unless they find me on Miiverse and ask me, what's with the glasses thing? Then I'll tell them. But Dragon Quest X, it is, of course, out on the Wii and the Wii U and on PC in Japan. It's coming to the 3DS. But not as, like, a cartridge of the game. It's actually going to be, like, streamed to 3DS. So you buy it. I guess you install some sort of app to, like, run it or open it up. But it's actually streamed to your 3DS.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
Your Japanese 3DS, because you cannot, of course, buy that anywhere else in Japan. And probably never will be able to. Yeah. I don't think that game's ever coming out. That's one of the games that... we had talked about possibly coming out back before, like, Xenoblade and The Last Story were out. We're never getting Dragon Quest X. Sorry, everybody. It's not happening. Dragon Quest X and Mega Man.
Speaking of Xenoblade, here's another tangent.
Go on.
I texted you, I told you, but I found my Xenoblade.
Yes.
I was ecstatic.
How miraculous. That's great.
I forgot that I had flipped the cover around, so I have the art on the front.
Oh, yeah, I did that too.
And it got mixed in with my Xbox games.
Mm.
No idea how, but I found it. And
well, your Xbox games probably wanted, like, a good game to hang out with.
I know, so. Exactly. They're like, man, we suck so much. It's like the nerds in high school trying to hang out with the cool kids.
By turning their jackets inside out or something?
Well, the cool kid had their jacket inside
out. Oh, gotcha. Oh, I don't know. I don't think that would even be cool in the 90s.
You know, like that episode of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air when he goes to that boarding school and he takes his jacket, flips it inside out. It's got those weird colors.
Oh, that's true. He does that on Fresh Prince.
Shazam. I just... Fresh Princed your ass.
So Xenoblade's kind of like the Will Smith of video games.
I'm actually okay with that.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the next news story.
Kirby Fighters Z and DDD's Drum Dash Z out now on 3DS eShop in Japan.
Yeah, so this is another thing that's just in Japan for now, but...
Is that one game? Because the way it's worded, it sounds like two games.
It is. Well, there are two mini-games. There were two mini-games in Kirby Triple Deluxe. And you remember years back when we talked about Kirby Mass Attack, and there's like a couple mini-games in Kirby Mass Attack that we were like, this would be awesome if they just released this.
Yeah, like the space shooter one.
Exactly like that one.
Really cool.
And this is, of course, Nintendo just taking our idea but doing it for the wrong game.
I'm telling you, they're listening, man.
They better be, because releasing those Kirby Mass Attack minigames would still be a great idea, and I would buy them.
Yep.
But I don't know, like Kirby Fighter Z and DDD Drum Dash. I played DDD Drum Dash on, of course, Kirby Triple Deluxe. Wasn't super impressed with it. I mean, it's okay. I could see this happening in North America and Europe and everywhere else other than Japan, which is already out. I could see it happening, but no news yet. And I don't know if they did it with these two games, I probably wouldn't get them because I already have the cartridge. But yeah, and, exactly. Like and they weren't like awesome enough for me to warrant like another purchase, like the Kirby Mass Attack ones.
It's like Japan news. It's crazy. Japan gets all the good stuff.
Yeah, we do have one more piece of Japan news.
All right. Nintendo held a 3DS third-party game Nintendo Direct for Japan. That was a mouthful.
Yeah, there's a lot of adjectives in there. Yeah. A lot of modifiers.
It was 1 hour long and revealed some release dates. Final Fantasy Explorers hits Japan this winter, features four-player online co-op.
Yeah, that's kind of... Japan's or Square Enix's Monster Hunter kind of thing. It looks like what it's shaping out to be. Yeah, it looks pretty cool.
Tales of the World
Revunisha
due out October 23rd. I have no idea.
It's a strategy RPG based on some of the Tales games from Bandai Namco.
Okay.
It's probably one we'll never get.
Okay. DQX due out September 4th.
And then, of course, Dragon Quest X,
yep.
which is another one we're never going to get. And that's the 3DS version that's out September 4th. Probably should have specified.
Forbidden Magna due out October 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
You can use the Street Pass to unlock content. Good for you.
Yeah.
Monster Hunter 4G due out October 11th.
Yeah,
frickety do,
and that, and actually the only one like we'll probably get Final Fantasy Explorers because Square Enix does tend to bring most of their stuff over to the West. But the only other one that I think we're gonna get from that list of third party 3DS games is Monster Hunter. That one's confirmed already for 2015 for North America. So
there you go.
Yeah, if you like Monster Hunter, that will be a game you will be able to play.
I just don't have the will to try it. I really don't.
That surprises me because you spend a lot of your time playing MOBAs. So
yeah,
I mean it's
this one. I'm not interested in this one at all.
Well, you know, I just made the comparison to MOBAs, but Monster Hunter is different from MOBAs because it's more of a cooperative experience as opposed to a competitive one.
Yeah,
the community is really different because it's a lot of times you'll have people who are. Like a much higher levels or much better at the game, who will play down to your level just to kind of help you get introduced to the game.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. I mean, if only I found the game interesting.
Yeah,
now.
Exactly.
The community seems like really nice people.
But who gives a crap of the game?
Yeah, I just do not care to dive back into the world of Monster Hunter after I tried Monster Hunter Tri.
Yeah.
Didn't do it for me.
New Super Smash Bros. Characters revealed. Lucina from Fire Emblem Awakening, Robin from Fire Emblem Awakening, Avatar Dudette.
Yeah, he was the
main dude.
Yeah, the character you can create at the
main
beginning.
Character.
Yep.
And Captain Falcon.
Yep. Not really a new character.
Son
but
of a bitch. Why bring him back? Why bring him back?
I don't know. I mean,
I did not miss him in Brawl. In fact, I didn't even notice he was gone.
No, he was in Brawl.
Was he in Brawl?
Yeah. Of course he was. He's been in every Smash game.
See, that's how little I care about Falcon. I don't even realize he's in Brawl.
I think most of the time he's kind of a joke character, you know? Because he's most known for saying every move he executes.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I mean, he's in the game. I think that's, you know...
Is he actually in Brawl?
Yeah.
I don't remember him in Brawl at all.
I am 99%. Now that you're, like, mentioning it, I'm questioning it a little bit, but I'm positive.
I'm looking this crap up.
He's gonna Google his Captain Falcon. Are you gonna the Super Smash Bros. Brawl roster? Just Google the whole
thing.
I think
this guy is in Brawl. I really don't. I think he was only in Melee and they ditched him for Brawl.
No, I don't think they ditched anyone for Brawl. I think that everyone who was in Melee was back for Brawl. Except, well, was Mewtwo in Brawl?
No.
So they ditched Mewtwo and replaced him with Lucario.
Yes.
But I'm positive that Captain Falcon is in Brawl. Positive.
I'm looking this crap up.
All right, while you do that, I'm going to jump to the next news story because we also got new characters confirmed for Hyrule Warriors. We got Rudo from Ocarina of Time, Darunia from Ocarina of Time, and Sheik also from Ocarina of Time are all going to be playable characters in Hyrule Warriors. And that game, as a game, the more I see of Hyrule Warriors, the more excited I get for it.
Why am I blanking on this? Because I seriously didn't... All right, apparently he is in Brawl.
Of course he is.
I don't remember him in Brawl.
All right.
I care so little about that guy.
Okay, well.
All right, well, screw that. Why are they announcing that he's in this stuff?
Well, he was just part of the trailer that revealed Lucina and Robin. They're both fighting him. And it was a funny little trailer where Krom, one of the major characters from Fire Emblem Awakening, was also in. And it, like, looked for a minute like he was going to, like, be in it. But I think he's part of Robin's Final Smash. So he's in the game, but not as a playable character.
Okay.
And like I said, Rudo Duryea and Sheik are all
in. But Sheik was already announced.
Zelda was. Sheik wasn't. Well,
we saw gameplay with Sheik.
Well, this
using
is...
Using a giant sword.
No, that was Impa.
That was Impa. You're right. I'm being dumb.
That's quite all right. I mean,
Falcon threw me off. Screw that. I hate you, Falcon.
Oh, it's going to be so good when I assign you to review the new F-Zero game that they're never going to make.
That's a no. That's a no. You're not my boss. I'm not doing this. You don't assign me jobs. You're not my supervisor.
If they gave us free download codes, I could. But they don't.
Still get assigned me to play. If it's free, I still wouldn't play this crap.
Anyway, let's...
I would get a copy and burn it just for the principle behind it.
But we can agree that Hyrule Warriors looks pretty cool.
Yes.
It's actually a game, the more I see of it, the cooler it looks. Like, I wasn't super stoked on it when they first announced it, and like when we only had little bits of information, but the more characters they reveal, the more the gameplay shows. I just hope it doesn't go
the way of the other Dynasty Warrior games, where it was pretty cool out of the gate, and then eventually you just got really bored of it. Because you're just sitting there pressing the same button over and over again. How can we have giant masses of people?
It does seem to be a bit button mashy, but I think that the different styles of combat that you can use will bring some freshness to it as you're playing through the game. So
hopefully.
For example, they showed Zelda doing some combat. And Zelda has like melee combat as well as like some magic attack looking combat. So it's not just like hacking away with swords. They're bringing some of like the Legend of Zelda abilities to the games. Like, she also shoots a light arrow, so...
You see, John, that's how glasses are supposed to work. You take them off your head, clean them, put them back on.
Uh-huh.
You don't take them off your head, the lens falls out.
I don't know. I don't understand. I don't remember anything like that
then
happening.
Then you have to reapply the tape.
No one is going to know what you were talking about, because nothing like that has ever happened.
That's not how glasses work, John.
Okay.
All right, what's next? Nintendo and Koei Tecmo released a debut trailer for the new Fatal Frame game. Fatal Frame. I'm not even going to bother on that.
This is exactly why
Rasu no Miko comes out on September 27th in Japan.
This is exactly why I wanted you to read the news, so that you had to read
Rasu.
I practiced this too, and I still fucked it up.
Watch that.
Nurigarasu no Miko. Which translates to the black-haired shrine maiden, which that can't be its name. Well, it can't be its name in North America, because right now it's not announced for North America. But I actually really think that this Fatal Frame game is going to come to North America, mostly because it's a Wii U game and Nintendo is hurting for Wii U content. So I think they'll do whatever they can to bring it over. And Nintendo and Koei Tecmo are pretty buddy-buddy recently, because they're also teaming up. They're teaming up for this Fatal Frame game for developing it, and they're also teaming up for Hyrule Warriors. So, you know, I'm pretty hopeful that this game will make its way out of Japan and into the West, but probably not until next year.
Okay.
I don't think it'll be a surprise for 2014. But
Persona Q Shadow of the Labyrinth is coming to North America on November 25th.
Yep, and that's a game I think everyone expected to come out. So. Yeah,
it's Persona.
Yep, and it is a 3DS game, so it's coming out around the same time as Pokemon. So
that's gonna be overshadowed.
Well, it'll be two massive RPGs that I'll just have to sink all of my time into at the end of the year.
NES Remix Pack coming to North America later this year.
And that is a retail copy of both NES Remix downloadable games plus the Super Luigi Brothers, Super Mario Brothers 1 Mirror Mode game. They're releasing it at retail. They did that in Japan. Now they're doing it here. Alright. I mean, I already have them both. Not really interested in buying them again, but I'm cool.
Good for you.
It's cool for people who don't want to download them. I don't know why you wouldn't, but... Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Now you have options, I guess. Cool.
Curve Studios is bringing Stealth Inc. 2, The Swapper, Lone Survivor, and one more unannounced game to Wii U this year.
Yeah, and we talked about Stealth Inc. 2 in the past. They had already announced they're bringing that one over. But then they're also, like you mentioned, doing three other games, one's unannounced. And yeah, they're throwing a lot of this downloadable indie game support at the Wii U, which is great. And I've actually been playing a little bit of Fluidity Spin Cycle on my 3DS recently, because it was my Club Nintendo Platinum Reward game. And yeah, I'm really liking what these guys are putting out, and I really like that they're putting out Wii U support. So I plan on buying most, if not all, of the stuff they're putting out, because one, they look cool, and two, that they're actually putting some effort into bringing some games to a system that I play. So yeah, very cool news.
Trine Enchanted Edition is coming to Wii U someday. Is the original Trine redone with the Trine 2 engine. I like Trine.
Trine is cool.
That was a fun little game.
Yeah, and
we never went back and actually beat it, though. I mean, yeah. Did you beat it?
No, because I think it's funner as a co-op experience.
Yeah, definitely.
So I never went back and played more of it. But it's cool that they haven't announced official release date for Trine Enchanted Edition, but yeah, it's cool that they're redoing this original Trine game and that they're bringing it to the Wii U. I'll get it because I like Trine 2, and maybe that'll.
You never played Trine 1, did you?
No, never got to play Trine 1.
You just went straight to Trine 2. Cool.
Right, because Trine 1 never came out on the Nintendo system, so.
Oh, right.
But now it is, cool. So we'll get to play it.
Two Tribes announced a new game called Rive. It's a 2D shooter platformer due out in early 2015 for current-gen systems.
Yep.
Quotation marks.
Yeah, that they said current-gen systems, and the Wii U is current-gen, so deductive reasoning would imply that they are bringing it to Wii U, and they've brought games to Wii U before, so we'll have to wait and see.
The Wii U got a system update. You can now transfer all software from one Wii U to another. Also, you can now browse the Wii eShop with a Wii Remote, Pro, or Classic controller.
Yep. So if you have a Wii U and you buy another one and you want to transfer all your stuff over, you can.
Yay.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
Why do I have two Wii Us?
I don't. Well, I know some people that do. They like have one for them and like one for their kid. Like I have some friends on Miiverse that have a couple of Wii Us. But I don't know why they would want to transfer all their stuff over.
So they can go fuck themselves.
Well, we'll start a crowdfunding thing to get
exactly.
You a Wii U.
Give me one and share your Wii U with your kids. What's wrong with you?
He's just redoing his bathroom floor in Wii Us.
It's just messed up.
And the entire floor will equal the power of a PS4. Oh, that was mean. No, I'm not buying a PS4. I love my Wii U.
The 3DS also got a system update for improved stability.
More quotation marks there.
More quotation marks.
The weird thing about this, and other people have commented about this, is that when they have like these stability updates, it'll like go from version like 7.1 to 7.2. But this one like moved up to like version 8. So it seems like they're laying the groundwork for something bigger, but we don't know what that is.
Target is opening shelf space for Majora's Mask 3DS.
Yeah, and several Targets.
I wish it wasn't on the 3DS.
I know what you mean, but I think it's inevitable at this point.
It's so annoying. I don't want it on a 3DS. I mean, I probably will still buy it, but still, I'll get like partway through and be like, this is painful, and just stop.
Yeah, I mean, Ocarina of Time, I think that I'll appreciate it a little bit more as a portable game since I have an XL. But Ocarina of Time, like especially the item selection, using the touchscreen was not the best option for selecting items with the Ocarina of Time remake. But because they've done an Ocarina of Time remake, they can just reuse the same assets for a 3DS version of Majora's Mask. And yeah, I also really want an HD version of Majora's Mask. Using the Wii U gamepad to select all of your masks and be able to switch it at any
time. Come on, Nintendo. This is what people want.
This is what me and you want, but...
No, people, John. Because people would be stupid if that's not what they want.
Well, there's a lot of people who are stupid. Because
A lot of people ask for the portable.
A lot of people... Well, I think that a lot of people want a portable version because they just assume that that would be the next step. Like, Ocarina of Time came out, portable version, so 3DS
version.
Come
on, people. Just move a TV into the crapper if you really want to play this while you're on the can. It's not that...
But you don't even have to move the TV in there because you could just play off TV for a few minutes while you're taking a poop on the gamepad.
Come on, man. Don't tell me you do that because I touched that gamepad of yours.
No, I have the Wii U too far away from the toilet.
Oh, thank God.
I've tried.
You tried. I am not surprised.
I thought about moving it closer, but I was like, yeah, I mean, I have a 3DS. I don't need to have two game systems that I can.
I only have two arms. Take that dump. My poop doesn't take that long. Mario Kart 8 sold a lot of copies.
We don't
thanks
talk
for not being vague.
Well, we don't talk about sales on this show. Like ever. This is it's something we gave up on years and years back. But everyone else
mostly because it was depressing.
Well, not for the Wii. When we first started this podcast, things were Wii great. Awesome. Like, the Wii is selling millions. Everything is awesome.
It's
everything's great.
Gold.
But yeah, we gave up on that because it stopped being interesting. But everyone's talking about Mario Kart 8 selling. So Mario Kart 8 sold some copies. Let's move on.
The Wii U sold some units as well.
That is other news that other people are talking about.
Yay!
So.
Pat yourself on
more,
the back.
More people bought Wii U's. Hooray. Good for
Yay.
You.
Koei Tecmo. I don't even know. How are you supposed to actually pronounce that?
Koei Tecmo.
Is it Koei Tecmo?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Has merged with Gust effective October 1st.
Gust is a little-known studio. They produce a lot more stuff in Japan than they do in North America, but they do sometimes get some stuff out in North America and Europe. They produce an RPG series... that has like the prefix. I don't even know if I'm gonna pronounce this correct, but I think it's Adelir. Wes, are you familiar with these games? I'm gonna Google search them really quick.
Nope.
You might. You're probably.
I probably am, but I'm not thinking of them.
You will probably recognize the box art.
Oh, okay.
Oh, here we go.
Atelier.
Yeah, maybe Atelier is how you pronounce them, but anyway, but these are RPGs. Shoot, they don't have box art on Wikipedia. Why would they? But like they're
Google Images. Let's do this.
No, that's
what the frick.
No, that's like architecture. I don't know what that is. But they're RPGs with heavy anime influences. But yeah, and the reason this is noteworthy is because like maybe since Tecmo Koei are such buddy-buddy with Nintendo right now is maybe there's a chance that they'll bring some of these RPGs to the Wii U or 3DS. But, yeah, who knows? They're traditionally out on PlayStation systems. And you can see just from the Google research here that they're pretty heavily...
Don't recognize any of these.
They're pretty
there's
heavily...
a random Soul Eater anime picture in there. That's a little weird.
But they're just pretty heavily anime influenced.
Yeah, very heavily.
Anyway...
Which I never played one of those games, but I'm not opposed to it. Because I like anime, I just never played an anime game.
Yeah, I've never played one of the games either, but again, like they've never really been out on systems that I generally play on. So if they were to bring one to a Nintendo system, like sure, I'd give it a shot. Especially since the...
I can't really use that game.
Which game?
There are some on Wii over the years that have been close to that kind of genre.
Like Rune Factory, things like that. But see, like, the difference is on the Wii is there was always a ton of stuff to play.
Yeah.
Or as opposed to the Wii U where...
So you had your opportunities, but you just weren't interested in those games.
Yeah, I wasn't as interested in those as I was in other games. But with the Wii U, you know, there's still plenty of stuff to occupy my time, but I can afford to broaden my horizons a little bit more because we're not getting two or three really... top quality games every month. It's like one every month or one every couple of months. So
yeah,
I can so I can be like, yeah, sure, I'll try this one. Why not?
Nintendo revealed the Club Nintendo Gold and Platinum rewards. The gold include Super Mario Land 2, the 6 golden coins.
Yeah, that's one game.
That's one game. Yeah. Okay. Warrior Land 2, Metroid, Donkey Kong 3 for the 3DS.
Yeah, all those you get on your 3DS.
Yep. Kid Icarus, Super Mario Brothers, Ice Climber. Ooh, I know how you like that one.
Oh, God.
Adventure Link. All those again for the Wii U.
Yeah, so if you have a gold membership, which means I think you've like collected 300 coins or something through Club Nintendo through like a whole calendar year, you can get any one of those.
Any gold reward for platinum, you can get any gold reward or Dylan's Rolling Western, Mario and Donkey Kong, Minis on the Move, Fluidity Spin Cycle. That was a weird game. Donkey Kong Country Returns 3D. Those are available for 3DS. Dr. Luigi, NES Remix, Earthbound, Game & Wario. All for the Wii U.
So you can pick any one of those if you're a Platinum Rewards member. There's been a lot of uproar. A little bit because a lot of times Nintendo gives away like physical rewards, like little statues or a pin collection set. And sometimes they'll have options for downloadable games, but this time they went straight downloadable games. And if I had only achieved gold member status and all I got to choose from were virtual console games that like top out in value at $5, I might be a little mad. Like if I bought these Nintendo games and my only Club Nintendo reward was a $5 game, I might be a little pissed. But I got Platinum, and I went with Fluidity Spin Cycle, like I mentioned before, because it was the only one I didn't already own. But I don't know. It's like I'm not really upset at all that they went like just with pure digital rewards. I'm not mad that they didn't do a physical one.
Kind of lazy.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe I think that they're trying something new with Club Nintendo, because I'm not sure that they know what to do with Club Nintendo in North America. Japan definitely gets the better rewards, not only like the like throughout the year, but they get like the better like physical stuff that they can buy with their coins that they earn throughout the year. And I don't know. I mean, it's free stuff.
Yeah, it's free stuff.
So everyone just chill the fuck out. Like just get your free game and move on with your life.
Take your 3DS into the crapper and, you know,
and play some Kid Icarus. Don't play Ice Climber. Come on. I think like the Ice Climber reward has to be them trolling us.
That has to be.
Cuz that like, game is so bad. It is such a terrible game. But yeah, I don't like that. Yeah, this just didn't bother me at all. Okay, fine. I'll take the free game that I didn't own. If you're buying Nintendo games just to like build up some coins to get like a certain status and get a reward at the end of the year, you might have to re-examine the way you live your life.
Yeah.
Just
a little bit.
Just take a free game and move on. So let's take a quick break and then come back with the new releases.
That was a long one.
All right, so we got a few games, new releases to talk about.
Oh, we're finally talking about Guacamelee.
Yep, Guacamelee Super Turbo Championship Edition came out on the Wii U on July 2nd. This one was $15 from Drinkbox Studios, and it is a side-scrolling brawler with fairly deep combat and Metroid-style progression.
So that was interesting, because I didn't know anything about this until they handed me the controller tonight, and I was really thrown off. I was like, oh, this is exactly like Metroid. This is crap. No, not this is crap. Like, crap, this is Metroid. This is
I fucked that up. That's all right.
I'm happy it's like Metroid, but Metroid is challenging.
Yeah. So there's a couple of different ways it's like Metroid. You earn power-ups that open up new areas. So you like go into places that you've been before and use your new power-up to basically break through walls that are color-coded to the certain type of power-up that you need to get. So basically, like in Metroid, there's a red door. You use missiles to open it. In Guacamelee, there's a red wall. You use an uppercut to open it. And it's really funny because you get these power-ups from Chozo statues. And they're pretty blatant with their reference. They call them Chozo statues, and like a guy comes out and like you break it and you get your power up, and like a goat comes out like, hey, you broke my statue, and then he transforms to a human, and then he tells you about the power up you just got. And it's a pretty cool reference, and it's not like the only thing they reference. They reference a lot of other game series, Mario, Zelda, Mega Man. The game's got a good sense of humor to it. The exploration is not nearly as deep as Metroid. It doesn't require as much backtracking to actually progress in the main game, but it's still pretty effective, and the game does have you going through previous areas from time to time, so the map system works really well because it kind of draws you to the areas you haven't been to yet. But there is a pretty heavy emphasis on combat. And the combat works pretty well. It doesn't always feel super smooth, because when you're in a crowd of a lot of enemies, your combos can get broken up pretty easily. And also, when there's a lot of enemies on the screen, like 6, 7, 8 enemies, it's really easy to lose track of one, your main character. But the combat is very rewarding when you're executing it very well. And some enemies will prompt you like on how to defeat them. They'll have like a red shield kind of surrounding them, and that'll indicate, hey, you have to use your uppercut move in order to start doing damage to them. But the combat, it gives you a bunch of different options. You have like your regular melee attack, you have your special moves that you earn throughout the game, and then you have like your grabs and your throws that you can execute.
Now, I did mess a little bit with the grab and throw. Is it, because I saw as you grab them, you get to pick what direction you could throw them in. You know, what situations would that be beneficial for me to throw it? Like, can I throw them against other guys to do damage? Is it do more damage the farther I throw them, or?
No, the distance doesn't seem to make a difference, but you can throw enemies into other enemies, and that, of course, does some damage and also some knockback. So it's a way of controlling a crowd if you have a bunch of guys coming at you and you have a guy that you can throw. So it allows you to control your situation a little bit better. And not only can you just kind of like chuck them across the screen, you grab with the X button, and then you can toss them in any direction with the X button, or you can use the A button once you have them grabbed in order to perform a more powerful attack. Like a down A is like a pile drive or a suplex.
Oh, that I did not know.
Yeah, so it allows you to finish off enemies a little bit quicker when you're using those more powerful techniques. And that's not actually something that they directly like instruct you to do, as far as I remember in the game. It kind of like lets you experiment that and figure it out on your own. Some of the platforming elements are pretty challenging. It's similar to a game that we've talked about in the past, Mighty Switch Force, where you have to flip in between. Like you have to press a flip button to materialize platforms. So in Guacamelee, you're basically flipping in between the world of the living and the world of the dead. And sometimes walls or platforms or obstacles will exist in one but not the other. So you're having to jump around and flip between worlds in order to land on a certain spot or move something out of your way. So, and a lot of times the platforming will combine jumping that you have to do, as well as switching between the different worlds and your combat techniques. So you'll have to like jump, switch to the other version of the world, do your second jump, and then use like your dash forward or your uppercut technique in order to fully execute a jump. So it definitely can get complex, the different platforming challenges that they have you do, which is pretty cool. The game has a cool style. It's got lots of personality, really bright, colorful graphics, a lot of silly character animations, and there's skeletons that talk to you and mock you and things like that. It really embraces the luchador culture, quote unquote, or you know, kind of what we think of as stereotypical luchador culture.
Yeah, it's kind of racist.
A bit.
This game is a little racist.
I mean,
a bit?
Yeah.
A bit, John.
Yeah.
It's a bit racist.
It is no more racist than our podcast. But yeah, it definitely does not shy away from using those stereotypes, that's for sure.
The only thing missing is him eating a taco as a power-up. That's the only thing missing.
I'm trying to think of an example. He does that, but he does not.
Aww.
He does turn into a chicken.
He does turn into a little chicken.
Which is pretty funny.
The location names are hilarious.
Oh, yeah, the...
Deserte... Caliente.
Yeah, the hot desert.
Yeah, the hot desert.
Desierto Caliente.
Desierto Caliente. Some of it sounds like it's...
Cavarna de Pollo. Came with the chicken.
It sounds like it needs to be on the menu of, like, a Chipotle or something. Some of the locations.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. So... The cool thing about the game is that the story mode has full co-op. Have not been able to figure out
how to figure that out.
Because I guess like the Wii Remote Nunchuck is not a suitable controller setup. I might need a pro controller in order to have a co-op mode going in this game. Which, you know, I plan on getting a pro controller someday.
Yeah.
But it's
but
like
the fact that it requires
like 40
that because it doesn't seem like it's not that big of a deal. And you'll need some special controller to do this game.
Right.
I don't know why they're making a big deal out of it.
Right. You know,
it's more like a giant FU, buy our stuff or you can't do this.
You know, I don't know. Because I don't know that the Wii Remote Nunchuck would have sufficient buttons in order to execute everything. But you could always do button combinations, like you press A and B together and that's the grab. Anyway, we won't get into too many specifics there. But I bet that's what it is that they didn't want to have to go back and rework a control scheme as opposed to just saying, hey, either use the gamepad or a pro controller, because this game is on other platforms as well, and the other platforms have pretty standardized controllers, so they might not have wanted to go back and make a special controller.
I just want them to bring back a GameCube controller.
Oh, it's back, baby.
Oh, it's back.
It's totally back. There's the adapter that's coming out
yep.
at the same time as Smash Brothers. I think I'm gonna get that special edition Yoshi.
Love my Wave Bird. I miss it so much.
I think, because I'm definitely going to get the adapter for Smash, because that'll just give more control options for anyone who wants to play.
Yeah.
We get as many people playing as possible. But yeah, I think I'm definitely getting that that special Yoshi one, because it's cool. I love that that Yoshi GameCube controller. It's awesome. I'm hoping that I could actually use that for GameCube games. Anyway. So, Guacamelee also has a lot of stuff to collect. There's like treasure chests full of money. You use money to buy power-ups. There's health and MP bonuses. MP, they call it something different in this game, but it's basically your MP. It's how many times you can use your special combat techniques before it has to regenerate. Regenerates on its own. There are silver coins you can collect to get new costumes, and wearing different costumes will alter your character attributes, like make them better with your special combat techniques, but you take more damage, that kind of thing. And the map is also very helpful for all of your collection, because it shows you a percentage of how many treasure chests you've opened in a given area. So it's a fun game. It includes all of the DLC of previous versions, and some of the DLC is okay. It doesn't really add much to the main game. They're just kind of side areas that are pretty combat heavy or pretty heavy on platforming. And they're pretty obviously side areas as well. They're not exactly super well integrated into the general progression of the game, which makes sense because it's just added content later. So, yeah, this is one that I definitely recommend picking up. Especially if you have a pro controller, get a co-op going, because it seems like it would be a really cool co-op game. But we'll have to report back on that another time, because
yep.
We don't have that option right now. So something else that I was thinking about trying, and we'll see how it goes this episode. If we don't like how it goes, then we'll change it. But I want to list off all of the other stuff that has come out on the Wii U And then if I've played any of them, we'll stop and talk about it. So we, of course, have played Guacamelee, so we talked about that one. Bumming Bastards came out on July 3rd for $7 on the eShop. On the same day, Internal Invasion came out for $5 on the eShop, and Poker Dice Solitaire Future on the eShop for $1, as well as...
Zakisaws?
Yeah, Zakisaws or something, Last Stand, $3 on the eShop, and Armillo, which is a game we talked about briefly. That is $8 on the eShop.
Is it worth the $8?
I don't know. I haven't gotten it yet. It hasn't reviewed super well, and actually when we were talking about it, I was talking about how like the 3D sections didn't look all that great, but the 2D sections looked interesting. Most of the reviews that I've been seeing say the opposite, that the 3D sections are interesting and the 2D one is pretty bland and the controls are terrible. So, I don't know. Yeah, I'm hesitant for this one at this point. On
the 8th?
Yeah, go ahead.
One Piece Unlimited World Red. That's on the 8th for $50.
Do you watch One Piece?
It's just so long that I watched it for a while up to a certain point, and then I just let it go, and it's so far, and it's so long, it's just intimidating. I can't bring myself to go back to it, because it's just intimidating.
I think Dez ran into that. Dez tried to watch Bleach.
Yeah, same thing.
And Bleach, like, there's like 200 episodes or something.
Bleach is only good, in my opinion, up to a certain point, and they kept going after that point. But after that, when they killed Aizen, one of the main bad guys at the first beginning part of it.
All right.
They went this other route to pretty much keep the series going, and it was crap. So I was like, screw it. I don't care about this anymore.
One that Dez did make it through, though. Well, she skipped episodes, but she really liked Inuyasha.
Yeah, that I cannot finish Inuyasha. Same episode. It's the same thing over and over again every single freaking episode. In the beginning, then they go fight something, they lose, and then they have to talk about it, and then they fight the thing again and win, and then they make up. Roll credits. It's the same freaking formula every freaking episode. It's so freaking...
She skipped around episodes because she'd seen the series before, and then like when it was available on Netflix, she burned through it again. But goddamn, there are over 200 episodes.
Yeah, I will not sit through Inuyasha ever again. Just cannot bring myself to it. On the 10th, for $2, you get the letter. So, you know. Super Toy Cars on the 24th for $8. Master Reboot for also on the 24th for $15. And on the 24th as well for $50 is Transformers Rise of the Dark Spark.
Hooray!
But
on the 24th, we also got Wooden Sensei, which is a $10 downloadable game from Upper Byte Studio, published by Neko Entertainment. And it is an action side-scroller that I bought because it evoked memories of iNinja.
I know.
I watched a video of it, and I was like, this kind of reminds me of iNinja.
I want to do it. I might just have
to get this.
Because iNinja was freaking awesome.
It really was, and I'm disappointed that they never made another one. Oh, Namco, God. You need to get on that.
Dear God, you're so... Yeah, there's no reason.
So that and we need another Billy Hatcher and the Giant Egg, just cause.
iNinja 2, he's angry again. Just come on, just.
Yeah, iNinja 2, iNinja-er, or something.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
iNinja with a vengeance.
iNinja with more vengeance. Thing was a vengeance. He killed his own master and he sought revenge against people who didn't kill his own master.
Live free or iNinja. Just steal Die Hard titles. Anyway, so. Wooden Sensei has a cool art style to it. They kind of use like little woodwork models, and it has a feudal Japan setting. So, the background work is pretty cool as well. It's got some cool like watercolory kind of washed out color style to it, but it's pretty vibrant. I like the way it looks. It's combat heavy, maybe not as much as Guacamelee, but it's a bit more focused. It doesn't have like the exploration or like the upgrade system as Guacamelee.
It's
like,
it's just, here's the beginning, move to the right to get to the end.
Done. Right, right. And,
yeah.
And all you're doing on the way is attacking some enemies and maybe grappling on to a few things here and there, but your main focus is on the combat. So You have your regular axe melee attack, which doesn't have much range. You have your down axe attack. There are shurikens that you can pick up in different spots on the level that you can throw. You have limited ammo. And then you have your grapple hook. And your grapple hook shoots up, allows you to grab onto things and swing around. But it also can act as a weapon. So if there's an enemy above you, you could use that grapple hook to attack them. Because the grapple hook is just basically your axe that you throw up and that can latch onto things. The grapple hook falters a little bit with the motion controls. I did find out that I can switch the motion controls off, which was great, because what it would do is you'd grapple onto something, and then in order to alter your momentum, you had to tilt the gamepad back and forth.
Oh yeah, that just seems terrible.
Yeah. And it really made grappling onto things a chore, which in a couple of the levels, it's pretty heavy on that grappling, and having to tilt back and forth to alter your momentum really did not work very well. So now that I could just, like, it's just mapped to your control stick, your analog stick, it works a whole lot better, and it's much easier to get through. I found that the most efficient way to actually engage enemy is just to use your down axe on everything.
Just like Link in Super Smash Brothers.
Just down
sword everything.
Yeah. It's true. It's a pretty effective way of killing people. It does have a little bit of platforming mixed in. There's like the grappling stuff. There's also like over like areas of water, there's narrow logs sticking up out of them that you have to jump on, because apparently your little ninja dude that's made of wood can't swim or float.
That seems weird.
Sure, but there, I mean, you know, there it is.
Come on, ninjas even can run on water. Come on, what's the problem here?
I mean,
that's like Ninja 101.
Running on water?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Ninja 101, man.
That's the first thing you learn at ninja class?
Yeah, running on water.
If you can't do it, you're just
maybe
out.
Throwing shurikens. I mean, that's just 101. Come on, man.
But it's funny because, like I mentioned before, it was like a feudal Japan setting, but like the third level is like a submarine level.
Yeah, that was weird.
It was a really strange twist because it became all about you have to tap to kind of maintain your depth, otherwise you just kind of sink to the bottom. And then another button is a projectile torpedo attack, and it's all about moving slowly and engaging enemies at range, which was the exact opposite of the previous levels to that point. So it was a weird twist. I mean, it added a decent variety of I feel like that level was long, though.
Yeah, it would have been a little better if it was a little shorter.
Yeah. And there are pretty frequent checkpoints. But sometimes, like, you put into a checkpoint, and a lot of, like, the enemies underwater, they're either guys who are going to shoot projectiles at you, and they shoot multiple directions, or it's going to be a mine. And the sea mine you can't kill with a torpedo. So you just have to, like, go up to them and then float away slowly and let them detonate themselves.
The mines make sense when it's mixed in with the guys shooting at you. But when it's just, like, a line of mines, all that's there is to slow you down.
Right. It's just hindering your progress.
It's just, why are you killing my time? I want to go hack people up. Quit. Let me go do this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... Yeah, I'm interested to see what other sort of level variations they have in the game, but so far the submarine has not been a strong point.
No.
So I'm not super crazy about the game so far. The fact that I could switch off the motion controls did help, but technically I didn't spend any money on it because I just used some of my digital deluxe points and redeemed those and downloaded it, so I haven't really lost anything.
Yeah.
But I do need a hard drive because I've had to delete several things in order to make room.
That's sad.
Well, you know, this is just a 32 gigabyte internal flash memory. It's not huge, but I'm going to take the plunge and probably like find a little 500 gigabyte hard drive pretty soon because it feels right, so I could actually have everything that I've bought downloaded.
I'll give you my prices.
Okay.
I'll find those out and let you know.
All right. What was I about to say?
Oh, Wii Sports Club.
Oh, yeah, Wii Sports Club. I've got a retail release on the 25th for $40.
Yay.
So if you want to play Wii Sports with a little bit of extra content, because it does have the extra golf courses and online play, there you go. Wii Sports Club. Or you can just download it. There I have a download. Yeah.
Wii U Virtual Console, Mario Tennis Power Tour for GBA, Mr. Driller 2 GBA, Bases Loaded NES, Euphoria the Saga NES, and Mega Man Battle Network.
That's also GBA. And that one actually came out today.
Cool.
So, yeah. I mean, there's some virtual console games if you want to buy some. I did not download any of them because none of them really interested me that much.
No.
So, on the 3DS, actually, I don't have anything to say about any of these games. So, it's going to fly through them.
Burn right through them.
Yep. On the third, Bike Rider Galaxy. Oh, and these are all eShop games unless I state otherwise. On the third, Bike Rider Galaxy DX2 for you can get for $3, City Mystery for $5, Glory of Generals for $10, and Squid's Odyssey for $15. And actually, this one is worth pointing out that in Europe, if you buy the 3DS version of Squid's Odyssey, you could download the Wii U version of Squid's Odyssey for free.
Yay!
So technically the first ever cross-buy game on a Nintendo system.
There we go.
Then on the 8th, we got One Piece Unlimited World Red for $30. That's a retail game. Then on the 10th, Rabbi Lady. I think it's Rabbi Lady, not Rabbi Lady, because Rabbi has two eyes.
Rabbis are also dudes.
Yeah, I don't think... I'm not really fluent in Jewish culture, but I don't know that women can be rabbis. Maybe.
I don't think so. I think there's probably like another name for that, but I that's a good question. We should look that up.
Okay, you ask the internet, so we'll find out if rabbis can be women. Me and My Pet 3D also came out on the 10th for $20. Comic Workshop and Strike Force Fox came out on the 17th, $8 and $5 respectively. And then on the 24th, we got Pick a Gem, as well as 101 Pony Pets 3D and Siesta Fiesta on the eShop. And then Scooby-Doo and Looney Tunes is also a retail release, as well as Transformers Rise of the Dark Spark, $20 and $30 respectively. And on the 3DS Virtual Console, we got Bases Loaded for the NES and Blaster Master for the NES. Kind of a down month for the 3DS.
I think you can have a female rabbi.
Yeah?
Rabbi is a teacher of Torah.
Anyway, let's take a break.
I think you can.
Let's take a break.
And just then, for women.
Sure.
Yeah, equality.
You can be, yeah, but still can't be a priest, though.
Nope.
Anyway, so let's take a break and then come back with games coming out in August. All right, let's blast through the rest. Blast through the rest, goddammit.
You all right. Suck.
You want to go back to reading the news? Is that what you want?
Let's do this. Let's do this. I will reread all of it.
We've been doing this for an hour already. I'm not rereading the news. All right, let's blast through the rest of this. So, we're going to preview the month of August, and it's not going to take long. So, on the Wii U, there are no releases that we know of. We'll probably see a bunch of stuff on the eShop like we did this month. We had a whole list of games that we went through that came out on the eShop. Hopefully, there will be a couple of them that'll be worth getting. But pretty much on the Wii U. In August, I'm going to be playing through A Wonderful 101 still, and also Resident Evil Revelations. I picked that up.
Why?
Because...
reviewed horribly.
Resident Evil Revelations, though, like, got good reviews.
Did it?
Yeah.
I'm getting my games mixed up then.
Maybe.
I don't know. I heard that was crap.
No, well, wrong. It's... I mean, well, we'll discuss it more in the mini show.
I'm so high right now.
I don't really like it on the 3DS. I'm liking it a little bit more on the Wii U. But, yeah, we'll get into particulars on the mini show. It's not the time and place. This is not the time to discuss Resident Evil Revelations.
But, let's talk about it. Let's talk about this.
Okay, go on.
There's zombies involved, right?
No, actually, they're a different sort of creature. Kind of like how, you know, they change them up every time now. It's like in Resident Evil 4, there was something different.
I was just trying to bug you. I didn't know we actually were breaking off on this tangent on Resident Evil.
No, we're going to move on.
Let's move on.
Yeah, let's move to the 3DS, because the 3DS is actually getting a new game. Professor Layton versus Phoenix Wright is coming out on August 29th, so right at the tail end of the month. This one is developed by Level 5 and Capcom, and Nintendo is publishing it in North America. In this game, both of the fictional heroes are transported to a separate fictional city. And it does have the two different gameplay styles. So you have your adventure mode of the game, where you're walking around and Professor Layton is solving puzzles, and then you also have a trial mode where Phoenix Wright is in a trial and presenting evidence and catching people in lies.
So Layton is like the detective solving the crimes. Yeah. I see what they're doing.
This might be the closest thing to a Law & Order game we ever get.
This is pretty cool. I think that's what they should just call it. Professor Layton versus Phoenix Wright. Law & Order.
That'd be good. And then they could keep this going as its own spin-off series, the Layton and Wright Special Victims
Eventually,
Unit.
Eventually, they're...
Layton and Wright Criminal
Their
intent.
Art styles can blend into one type of art style for this.
And that's the thing, is they're keeping the two very distinct art styles. Professor Layton is not like mutated to look more like Phoenix Wright or vice versa. So you still have the really heavily stylized Layton with his really round head and beady little eyes with the really anime style of Phoenix Wright.
Yep.
So
that's just funny, man. Good stuff.
So what I've been hearing about this game is that there's quite a bit of text, which is pretty typical of both a Layton and Phoenix Wright game, so get ready to read. This seems, to be shaping up to be pretty good. It seems okay. The styles of game, just like you said, it seems to be a Law & Order, so it seems like the styles are blending pretty well.
Yeah, but it doesn't have iced tea.
No, it sure doesn't. That's what it really needs.
That's what it needs, iced tea. They just...
that's what would push me over the edge to get this game.
Done. Professor Layton has a new sidekick.
It's no longer that little piece of shit.
It's iced tea.
It's iced tea. It was the antithesis of the squeaky little cockney boy. It's now the gangster who used to murder people.
Yeah.
Who is now on a Law & Order show. So... I'm probably going to skip this one for now and pick up a previous Professor Layton game instead that I missed out on, probably Miracle Mask, because it's cheap. And I got some Super Nintendo games that I want to buy this month, so I'm going to be a little bit cheap on the 3DS side of things. But, hopefully on the 3DS there will also be one or two little eShop things that'll be pretty solid. I'll mention now that I also did start up another run-through of SteamWorld Dig, which you should get on your 2DS, because it's good.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's
Steam
a good
World
game.
Dig.
SteamWorld Dig. It's very, very good. And then I'm also still tackling Inazuma 11, as well as Fluidity Spin Cycle, which I mentioned before is my Club Nintendo Platinum Award. I also picked up Tales of the Abyss really cheap a few weeks ago, which is a 50-hour RPG that I'm 10 hours into, so I still got quite a bit.
God.
I got quite a bit of time. See, that one...
Wait, let me guess. You beat the main storyline, and then you got to repeat the main storyline, and you have to do that 7 more times.
Oh, spoilers for Bravely Default. And, we might as well take this tangent, because this is going to be a short segment anyway. I've listened to a few podcasts recently, and people keep listing Bravely Default in, their top 3DS games, which... If I'm being objective and honest, if I were making a top 10 3DS games, Bravely Default would probably be in there, but close to the bottom of it. Because Bravely Default...
Where are these people putting it?
Pretty close to the top. People seem to love this game. And I wonder if they ever made it past Chapter 4. Because I don't know how you could love this game past Chapter 4. Because you're just playing it over and over again. And they force you to do it. And it's infuriating. God. That game. I like it. But it should have stopped 30 hours earlier.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, and then also I'm finishing my Gen 3 Nuzlocke. So I got a pretty full plate on the handheld side of things as well. So, and then you got Shin Megami Tensei 4.
Yep. Now that I'm done moving.
Yeah.
So I can actually put time into it.
I'm excited.
Me too. Finally, I can actually
play a handheld game. That's not a MOBA.
It's not a MOBA.
Or an MMO.
You know, I also play Dark Souls and stuff. I haven't played it this week, but.
All right, anyway, let's go to one last break before we come back with the GBA Corner.
All right.
All right, here we go. All
right, home stretch.
Yep.
Let's do this.
GBA Corner. And the GBA Corner is the last section of the show where we talk about GBA games that came out 13 years ago, 13 years previous in the corresponding month. We're still kind of working through the launch games because during the launch of the GBA, there was about a 3 or 4 month period where there was nothing coming out. So, Stop pointing to my notes. I'm trying to...
What?
Don't worry. I'll pronounce it later. All right, all so the GBA came out in June of 2001, and there were a few games, but then like the next round of games weren't coming out to September, so we're kind of slowly working our way through some of them here. So this month we're going to talk about Iridium 3D and Castlevania Circle of the Moon. And Iridium 3D is a shmup game from the developers of Nano Stray and Nano Assault, and shmup is... just the term for like a side-scrolling space shooter game, like
Galaga. I actually never heard that term. It's weird.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's weird. All
right. But Iridium 3D was a pretty impressive piece of technology because it is one of those space shooter kind of games from behind the ship perspective. Kind of uses like a pseudo 3D effect similar to Star Fox, but much better visually than Star Fox was because of the more powerful GBA hardware.
Which Star Fox, though?
Star Fox.
NES?
Yeah, NES.
Star Fox? Okay.
Super Nintendo Star Fox.
But not Star Fox N64. No.
No, it doesn't look as good as Star Fox 64.
So cool.
Yeah, I mean, that was probably the height of the series, that's for sure. Fox 64. One day we're going to play Star Fox Adventures.
We're doing this.
Yeah.
We're doing this.
Tomorrow.
Wait, how many of those Star Fox games are like adventures where it's third-person shooter?
I think Star Fox Adventure is the only one that's like heavy emphasis, like the heaviest emphasis is on going around on foot and melee combat. But there are third-person on foot sections in Star Fox Assault as well.
I'm probably thinking of Assault because I think I played that one.
Star Fox Assault, I have that one. It's fine. It's not great. But it's okay. But
we're doing this.
Iridium 3D does sometimes suffer from a low render distance, so sometimes things will be coming at you, but you won't be able to tell what they are or when they're like or how far away they are until they're almost right on top of you. Mm-hmm. So it could be just debris. It could be an enemy. and you don't really have a whole lot of time to react to them. So a lot of times what I do in this game is I'm not really shooting much of anything. I'm mostly just dodging and trying to dodge my way to the end of the level. And it's really not lit very well either, which is frustrating because I'm playing on an SP. I can't imagine how dark this game would end up on just a standard GBA.
That'd be terrible.
Nearly unplayable, I think. It's not a very long game. It's just a handful of missions. I think just six or seven. It's pretty good for little score attacks because you just kind of memorize the way the levels work and try to work through your game over and over again to see if you can beat your high score. And it's cheap. You can get this game brand new, factory sealed on Amazon for $13, or you can get it used for a penny, which I did. Paid like $3 for shipping and got this game for a penny. So, I mean, yeah, it's fine. It's cool. It's typical launch game. Doesn't have a lot of staying power, but it's pretty cool in short little bursts. And the other game, Castlevania Circle of the Moon, is, of course, a Castlevania game, a 2D one. So if you have ever played a Castlevania 2D game, you know exactly what you're getting into. This game is sort of canonical with the Castlevania timeline. It's considered more of a side story to the official Castlevania timeline. It takes place in 1880, so around the same time as...
1830.
Oh, sorry, yes, 1830. As I can't read my own typing, apparently. So around the same time as...
That typing is tough to read.
I know.
I don't know who typed it.
I have such awful typesmanship, apparently. So around the same time as Ordo of Ecclesia, it is about a vampire hunter named Morris Baldwin and his two apprentices, Nathan Graves and Hugh Baldwin, who attempt to thwart Dracula's resurrection. And you play as...
Why is he always resurrecting? Like, I mean, dear God.
if you want to get into this. Because when Dracula was defeated by... I forget which Belmonte was, but he was defeated by the vampire killer. Part of his curse was that he would resurrect every 100 years. So every 100 years, Dracula resurrects himself, and then...
Every game is you trying to stop Dracula's resurrection.
Some games, but then other games are about some sort of cult revolving around Dracula that is trying to resurrect him before his appointed resurrection time.
It's always about Dracula resurrecting.
Yes, that's Castlevania.
Yeah.
So that's what you're dealing with every single time. But yeah, this is just basically a classical 2D side-scrolling Metroid-like action game. Where you gain new powers by defeating enemies, like you gain like abilities to like bust through certain walls or move certain things that opens up the map and opens up new areas that you go into. Like I mentioned before, you play as Nathan Graves, your whip is your primary weapon. You get some secondary weapons as well, like throwing knives and axes and things like that. Very much like the original Castlevania and Castlevania 4, where you have like your main weapon and your sub weapon. But you got really diverse castle locations. The castle isn't really super big, but it's got like this. It's just got really weird architecture to where like sections wrap around each other, and they make really efficient use of the space that they have on this little GBA cart. And in typical Castlevania style, the architecture makes absolutely no sense. There would never be any reason to build a castle the way that they have it constructed. Oh, one of the interesting things about the game is that there is this completely unnecessary card collecting aspect to it. So you collect these cards that enemies have a low drop rate of, like specific enemies will have a low drop rate of a specific card, and you combine them, and it can add like fire element to your whip attacks, or it can just up your strength, that kind of thing. But from what I played in the game, it doesn't seem to be necessary at all to do any of those things. It's just like a little side thing that can help you out. So, you know, having a 2D Castlevania game is a really great way to start the life cycle of a handheld. That was a text message.
That was a text message.
I'm really disappointed that we haven't gotten
listeners.
Absolutely not. If you can name that game, Wes will give you a free 3DS game. I've committed you to it now.
No, I totally will not.
Okay. So, I've been disappointed that there hasn't been like a really solid 2D side-scrolling Castlevania game on the 3DS. We did get Lords of Shadow, Mirror of Fate, which I wasn't a huge fan of. I found it to be pretty mediocre. But Circle of the Moon, and hopefully some of the other Castlevania GBA games will come out on the Wii U Virtual Console. That'd be pretty cool, because we still got a couple more to blast through in the GBA corner over the next couple years. Because got Circle of the Moon, Harmony of Dissonance, and Aria of Sorrow, and all three are very solid games. You can get Circle of the Moon on Amazon for $85 brand new.
Rock on.
Or you can get it for $8 used.
More likely.
Yeah, and it's a solid game. And I was blasting through it and having a really good time with it, but the copy that I got, the battery in the GBA must seem to be replaced or something, because I lost my save file, and I was like 40% through. So I was like, oh, well, that's disappointing.
Just order that weird tool that needs to open these. It's like a tri-screwdriver. It's something weird.
Okay.
I sell the batteries.
You have GB, like...
It's a little dime battery. That's all it is.
Inside a GBA cart?
Yeah, it's just a little dime.
You've opened one up before?
Yeah. Okay. No, I haven't opened one up, but that's all.
That's very noncommittal. Like, yeah, I'm opening one up.
Yeah, that's just a little dime battery.
How much? How much is the battery?
Well, it's $6. I get that half off.
Okay. Bucks. All right. Well,
boom. Dime battery.
How many do you have?
A lot.
Okay. I was going, buy them all, bring them over. I'm going to replace all of my batteries. No, actually, my copy
of Pokemon Sapphire. I don't know what kind it is.
Okay.
There's a bunch of different kinds of those little dime batteries.
I was about to say that my copy of Pokemon Sapphire, the battery is dead. So, like, I can't grow berries.
Same thing. It's just the GBA has got this weird triangle screw.
That is
so
strange.
So you need to get, like, a special screwdriver in order.
Like a little Allen wrench? Grommet, or is it?
No, it looks like a screwdriver, except it's like a weird triangle thing.
That is weird. Why would they do that?
To make it proprietary, so you have to buy their crap.
But like a screwdriver, though, like a, I don't know. That's
you can buy it for like $1 on Amazon.
Okay. Oh, they're making so much money off of that proprietary device. I mean, this is why cartridges were so expensive, because they do.
Screwdriver.
What are we doing?
Oh shit, there are stickers.
Anyway, like the Vita still uses proprietary memory devices, and goddamn, like why Sony?
I found my PSP the other day.
Oh, good for you.
I was like, holy crap, my PSP.
How many games do you have for it?
2. Now, I will say, one of the two games actually is a good game. It's a nice little RPG that I did enjoy playing. I forget what it's called. It's like
it was really memorable then, wasn't it?
Well, I mean, it's been years since I played the thing. It's like The Legend of Heroes or something
like
that.
I'm never going to miss an opportunity to shit on the PSP.
Yeah, but I mean, I had to say it was a very fun little RPG. I will say this about it, though. It was overly long. Like, the thing just went on forever.
You know,
like, look, we did a handheld system. Look how much memory, how long of a game we can make. I don't care. You burn through like 4 years of my life with this. Dear God, dude.
You know, I know what you mean. And there have been a couple of 3DS RPGs, of course, Bravely Default being one of them, that I've put a lot of hours into. But I'm definitely getting to the point where I don't need to have those really lengthy RPG experiences anymore to be really satisfied with an RPG.
Final Fantasy had a good length of it because...
Final Fantasy also, they always managed to pace really well, too.
Yeah, that was the thing. They paced really, really well. A lot of these games that we're describing pretty much just is the same thing over and over and over and over and over again.
So we mentioned Shin Megami Tensei 4 a little bit ago and how you're going to be starting through it. And that's a game that I put 50, maybe almost 60 hours into. But I didn't need to. A lot of that was spent on side quests.
Yeah.
And side quests, and actually, like... I guess a little bit of a spoiler for a game that's over a year old, so pipe down. To get, like, the game's ideal ending, or what the game considers the ideal ending, you don't want to do many side quests at all. So, in Shin Megami Tensei, there's usually at least 3, and sometimes a 4th optional ending. Because you have, like, the path of chaos, the path of order, and then the path of neutrality. And in Shin Megami Tensei, neutrality is what the game considers to be the best possible ending, because you get like the best possible outcome from being neutral. And you have to think,
tell my wife I said hello.
What makes a man turn neutral? Is he just born with a heart full of neutrality? Sir, we have a mage alert. All I know is my gut says maybe. But I of course ended up different things will affect the way your ending unfolds. So like taking certain side quests and completing them a certain way will make your character lean one way or the other toward chaos or order. And even though a lot of the story elements, like when they present you with an option for like which character do you agree with, there's one guy who is the guy who will take you down the path of order, the other guy is the guy who will take you down the path of chaos. Even though I was mostly agreeing with the path of chaos guy, because of the way I completed side quests, I ended up getting the path of order ending, which isn't a bad ending. There's really, like, no matter what ending you get, there's not really a bad ending. It's just different. But and the game's idea of an ideal ending is the neutral one. But I forget how we got down that sidetrack. We were talking about long RPGs and how they don't, like, I don't need a 50-hour RPG to be satisfied with an RPG experience. Like, 20-hour RPGs are great.
Yeah, that's a good length.
Every once in a while, you know, I like to pour 140 hours into Xenoblade, but
you've only done that once.
Just as an example, every once in a while, I do like to pour over 100 hours into a game, but that's a rare case.
I gotta get back to Xenoblade.
Yeah, you do. It's so good.
What would you rather me play right now, Xenoblade or Shin Megami Tensei 4?
Yes. No, go with Shin Megami Tensei. Just get a feel for it, see what you think. Because if it's not for you, then you can stop and just go back to Xenoblade.
It sounds like it.
Yeah. Anyway, all
right, let's wrap this up.
Yep. So that's gonna bring the show to a close. Next week is the Pokemon show. Yep,
this show was just like those really long RPGs. They didn't need to go that long.
No, they really didn't. Don't worry, I'm going to cut out some stuff to make it shorter.
I'm telling you, keep it in.
I'm not keeping it in.
I'm telling you.
It's not going to happen. Next week is the Pokemon show where me and Ryan are going to talk about our Nuzlocke run through up through the Elite Four. We're actually going to be doing this. I'm going to be challenging the Elite Four in Sapphire pretty soon, and maybe I'll actually beat the game for the first time.
Yay!
Then will be the mini show, then the Super Nintendo show we're actually going to do one next month, and then wrap it all up again with the official show next month. So until then, everybody.
So long.
I guess we could have turned the Wii U off.
I like it.
We might like have it. Vague guacamole music in the background.
I don't think anybody would be able to hear that.
Well, you never know, because sometimes like you're able to like, oh, the sink is right there. I mean, this is probably as close to a kitchen table conversation as you can possibly get in a podcast.
Oh wow, you have your notes on the computer this time opposed to a notepad. Wow.
Well, yeah, because I said I was going to email them to you.
You did. I looked over them and I had notes, and I left my notes in my store.
Okay. Well. All this is staying in, by the way. I might like move it to the end of the podcast, but this is all staying.
Like a hidden track after the closing music.
Right, which everyone just expects now.
Well, you know.
For everyone who still listens to CDs.
The tens of
let's go to some news, and for the news, oh shit. these things really are broken.
Holy crap.
This, actually, I'm going to edit out.
I don't think you should. I think we should have on here you struggling to find the lens that fell out your glasses.
Is this turned into a Scooby-Doo episode? I can't do anything without my glasses. Oh, my God. Oh, wait. No, I thought I fell out of my foot. I did not. Here we go. All right. We'll put these back together.
Pretty rough.
Eh. I'll just have to retape them. I don't wear them anywhere. Well, I actually did wear them to the store today. But. Oh, yeah. Tape's coming undone. All right. That's all staying in. No, of course it isn't.
I think it should.
No, definitely not.
Hidden track, John.
So.